Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. It's going to be a pleasure here in our first segment. We're actually going to flip around and have an opportunity to spend some time with Jane Birch. Jane has been chief executive at New Beginnings for Women and Children since 2004. And before coming to Tucson, she was administrative director of a large community mental health center in northern New Jersey, where she also practiced individual and family therapy and worked with the country's domestic violence service providers as a volunteer, board member, and fundraiser. Jane founded and directed a center for community and professional education, was active in direct response outreach for the two major disasters that regretfully affected our country in these past decade, that being the September 11th, 2001 incidences and Hurricane Katrina. Jane is a graduate of Fordham University with a graduate work in social service and executive development at Cornell and the University of Madrid. And before entering the social services field, Jane spent 20 years in the international business information field, concentrating primarily on Latin America. She was editor-in-chief for affiliates of The Economist Group and Dow Jones and has written three books on management practices in Mexico, where she continues to have a keen interest in political and economic developments. Well, Jane, welcome to the line. And I can't think of how thrilled New Beginnings of Women and Children must have been to get the opportunity to have you join the team.
Well, I think it was just a serendipitous event for both of us, and I'm very happy that it happened.
Excellent. Well, first off, let's level up for those who may not be aware of your organization. Jane, tell us about New Beginnings for Women and Children and what the genesis and the focus of your work is all about.
Sure. Some of the listeners may actually remember an organization called Tucson Shalom House, which was the initial name of our agency when it was founded in 1987. The founders were a group of concerned citizens who formed the Interfaith Coalition for the Homeless, and they joined forces with a group of realtors who had been challenged at a conference in Washington to go back to their communities and to do something to help the homeless.
Isn't that wonderful?
These two groups came together and opened a shelter, which is still owned by a group of realtors who have formed the Hearth Foundation. And subsequently, the agency itself evolved into Tucson Shalom House, and then grew into what we renamed as New Beginnings for Women and Children in 2000.
That's lovely. Well, the connection to the real estate world, that is so symbolic, profound, and appropriate, too.
Yes, it is. And we have grown from that little shelter that housed four families to being able to shelter 13 families now, and regrettably, we can't accommodate more. If we could, we would in a heartbeat. We maintain a waiting list that unfortunately is over 25 families at a time now. So double our capacity.
Isn't that fabulous? Well, Jane, you might help us listen, understand how homeless families are different from the archetypical homeless person that's living on the street. Talk to us about that.
Oh, I'm so glad you asked that. Because the difference is radical, and it's understanding it is fundamental to understanding why family homelessness is something that we absolutely must address in our communities. You can argue both sides of a number of issues related to what's generally referred to as the chronic homeless population, where we have this stereotype of an individual, very frequently a male, who is manifestly suffering from either substance abuse and or mental illness and has really lost a connection with reality. You know, and this is the figure that's pushing the shopping cart or is huddled in coats on a street corner. Family homelessness, on the other hand, is very, very rarely chronic. it's almost by definition impossible to be chronic, because to fit the definition of chronic homelessness, a family unit has to have experienced incidences of homelessness lasting more than 3 days on three separate occasions in a period of 18 months. Mm-hmm. And because the children are with them,
sure,
adults just don't let that happen. By the same token, because of the children, they don't always come forward and ask for help because they're afraid that the children will be taken away.
Ah, yes, that's right.
So, for example, in Pima County, we have the results of the latest street count, or it's actually the point-in-time count, which was done in February. And that showed that there were about 2,500 adults with children who were without a fixed nighttime residence. Those of us who really serve the population would put that number at anywhere from 3 to 4 times as high.
Wow, okay.
The really important thing to understand about homeless families, or the two really important things, are A, it is the fastest growing segment of the homeless population in the country. And it now accounts for 34% of all of those who are homeless. The other thing is that it is very amenable to change. If you can get the family into some kind of stable housing, be that a shelter or transitional housing, which we also provide, and then just that period of stability so that the adult can gain employment, the rest will usually fall into place.
Isn't that beautiful? So, Jane, tell us the process then that your organization steps into to help families.
Well, if a family is without any resources, so the adult is unemployed or has only marginal employment, no support network, no financial resources to fall back on, they will usually contact us at our shelter. And we, as I said earlier, we can accommodate up to 13 families, and a family can stay with us for up to 90 days. And during that time, we will meet all of their basic needs for shelter, food, clothing, transportation, school supplies, and we'll work with the mother on obtaining employment and identifying where she can move into stable housing. Sometimes that's actually not staying in Tucson and perhaps moving back across country because mm-hmm. there's family in another state where there can actually be a greater chance of the family getting back on its feet.
Now, Jane, I heard you reference to her, to the mother. So are the families you're dealing with primarily then single-parent families, single-mother?
They are overwhelmingly. Zara. And, of course, in our shelter, it is all adult females with children. Mm-hmm. In our transitional housing, and we have 70 apartments in the city in 4 different communities, we do help single fathers who have legal custody of their children and meet the income qualifications. But family homelessness is overwhelmingly a problem for women. And because they tend to earn less than men in similar jobs, and they have to bear the cost of childcare, the path up and out of homelessness is much steeper for a woman with children than it is for a couple or a single adult.
Yeah, exactly, because of that multitude of responsibilities. You mentioned 70 transitional apartments across Tucson. Are those being offered to you pro bono, or where does that resource coming to?
Actually, we own 51, and we lease 19 from the city of Tucson. So it's in, I think it was 1997 that we opened our first community, which is 39 beautiful 2- and 3-bedroom apartments, with a walled community with a playground and a community room and just about everything that families need to really have a stable community life while the mother focuses on moving forward.
Isn't that great? For our listeners who just joined us, I have Jane Birch on the line with me. She's the executive director of New Beginnings for Women and Children. She's had this role since 2004. And Jane, I think we're going to keep you on the line post our bottom of the hour news. But prior to that, how is your organization different from others that are helping the homeless in this day and age, whether that be Tucson-based or give us a perspective on the landscape across the nation if you have that vantage point?
Sure. Our focus is on self-sufficiency,
okay.
And it makes us different from a number of organizations in the city or in the county, as well as nationally. Because we're working with families and there is a real connection between the fact that it is a family unit and the hope of success, the push to self-sufficiency is worth every effort that's put into it because it usually takes and the family takes off. But it means a very single-minded focus on employment and moving up and out of our supportive environment and out into the larger community.
That's beautiful. So do you have some specials, you know, screening techniques or opportunities to really understand that that is the commitment then of the mother coming into your network?
That's a perfect question. The only conditions that we place initially are that the woman have legal custody of the dependent children, is physically able and willing to work, and is clean and sober, mm-hmm. even if that's only been for 24 hours. Now, after someone moves into our shelter, then the requirement is you start to look for a job. You know, get the children into school, get connected with all of the necessary support services, which unfortunately are being cut more and more and more, and it's a huge problem for families such as the ones that we serve. But you get the basic services in place, and then the woman goes out on job search. And we provide as much support as possible in that process. We have special classes in job search techniques, mm-hmm. and, you know, interview skills and just building the confidence to get out there with very, very little experience in this tremendously competitive environment and face that rejection day in, day out until you finally connect with the job.
Yeah, that's right. So this is a double hit that's been falling on these mothers and their families, is that not just the difficulty of the economic stability of all, but then the likelihood of finding employment at the same time.
But, you know, the amazing thing, Zara, is that those who really commit to doing it succeed.
Yes, that's absolutely right. Well, how long are the women and families typically connected with you, Jane? Is this a 6-month to 18 months, or what does the typical process unfold?
Someone can be connected with us for 2 months and 90 days if they wanted to take advantage of every single day in the shelter and every single day in transitional housing. We would hope that that not be the case, and it usually is not the case. I would say that our average length of stay in shelter is about 60 days, and the average length of stay in transitional housing is right now probably about 14 months. If you look at, and this is such an important issue and not really fully understood, not even at the federal government level, we were looking this summer at the demographic information that we collect about our clients and looking at the very high percentage of those who had post-secondary education. And it just did not square with the difficulty in being able to maintain an independent household because of low-income earnings potential, as well as very high levels of debt. And what we found is that the unregulated, and it's totally unregulated, recruitment tactics that are used by vocational schools that can be financed 100% by student loans are very, very seductive for women who are struggling maybe just with a GED, trying to make a living for their families, and they're hearing and seeing these advertisements, you know, medical assistance, make $40,000 a year, only a year's schooling, you can qualify, and not only that, but your scholarship money, which is really a loan, will also pay your living expenses. And that's all true, of course, with some of the student loan programs. But regrettably, the schools do not always follow through with an effort to keep the students engaged, i.e. really teach them what they need to know in order to get a certificate that really counts. So what happens? The student either drops out or finishes but is unable to get a job because employers recognize the institution from which that certificate came, and they're not interested in hiring people from there. So what does she have? She has debt of $9,000, $10,000 and no ability to pay it off. Mm-hmm. And for those who drop out of school, they're stuck. They can't go any further anywhere until they pay that debt off.
Which, of course, then gets compounded by a resume that in some regards implies that they aren't able to stick with something solid.
Exactly.
So it's that
exactly. It's always somehow their fault.
You know, I recall that this has been getting some national exposure, hasn't it, Jane?
Yes, it finally has. And unfortunately, the national exposure has come at the cost of the abuses to our men and women in the armed forces, and particularly the abuses with funding from the GI Bill. But the exact same thing has been happening for a long time with vocational training. And now that the ARA impetus for more funding for vocational training is out there so people can get jobs, some of these schools are just making money hand over fist.
And I think your caution, your comment to us as the members of the voting populace to be aware of perhaps some other things that are going on in background. Well,
yes.
That's a really insight, particularly to impact the really truly disadvantaged, such as the women and children that your organization services.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Jane, from a leadership standpoint, if I could shift here before we run out of time, for you personally, I mean, I read in the introduction this wonderful career that you've enjoyed doing international work, writing books, having been a volunteer board leader, fundraiser in other venues, but to now be on the inside of an organization. Advice for our listeners who what you feel really takes for someone like yourself to make the most of career moves such as you've made and contribute in a much bigger way.
Well, I think that it's very important to be realistic about making a move like this and think about it in terms of where you are on your life path.
Mm-hmm.
If I were advising a young person just finishing up school right now, honestly, I would tell them, if you want to enter the field, by all means, we need people. We need good and dedicated people, but don't expect that you're going to be able to stay in this field all your life and pay off your student loans if you have a lot of student debt or build up any kind of retirement for yourself, because it is not a field that pays well. And that's not going to change no matter how good you really are.
Mm-hmm. But I think you'd probably say, though, if you look at your own pattern of your career, that you coupled the two together, right, at some point, so that you then could eventually flip, even if it was serendipitous, as you started out the show with.
Well, my move into New Beginnings for Women and Children was certainly serendipitous, but my move into the nonprofit sector and into social service was very deliberate.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, I was 49 years old when I went back to school to earn an MSW and had a pretty realistic idea of what earnings potential would be. So you have to go in understanding that, because it is such a high burnout field that if you're going to add burnout because of all of the obstacles and tragic side of human experience that we see, if you add to that personal financial distress, then you're going to wind up with a situation that's just not sustainable for yourself.
That's exactly right. Well, Jane, thanks for joining us today. I know we did want to make mention, though, you have a celebration coming up, so let's make sure we get that in for the New Beginnings organization.
Yes, we do, on Thursday, the 8th, at Lowe's Ventana Canyon. We have our annual luncheon where we will honor the achievements of several clients who have completed our program, gone on in the process of purchasing homes of their own, and one of them, for the first time, is a single man with children.
That's wonderful.
Whose success we're very happy to celebrate.
That's wonderful. And so the folks listening, that's April 8th, 2010. You can reserve your tickets today by going to Jane's website. It's www.nbwctucson.org. That's New Beginnings for Women and Children. Jane Birch, thank you so much for joining us here on Circles of Change.
My pleasure, Zara.
Very good. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.